Tonight's shir, Parshas Vayishlach. The Gemara in Brachas, Daf Dalet, raises a contradiction. Rav Yaakov Bar Yidi asks, it says in Parshas Vayetze, when Yaakov had his prophetic dream, it says, V'nei anochi imach u'shmarticha b'chol asher teleich. Hashem says, I'm going to be with you, and I'm going to guard you wherever you go. Yet, we see in this week's Sedra, when Yaakov was getting ready for his confrontation with Esav, it says, V'yira Yaakov mod, he was very scared. In other words, what was he scared about? Hashem promised him he's going to be with him, take care of him, guard him, protect him, so what was he scared about? Ela mar shema yigrom achet. Says that he answers that Yaakov was worried because maybe the chet would cause him to lose the promise. Rashi says, Shema achar haftacha chatatzi, Yaakov said, you may, fine, I was promised, but maybe I sinned after the promise, and therefore hachet yigrom shaftacha lo tidkayem, and then the chet's going to cause that the promise is not going to come through. So Yaakov explains it with a mashal. There was once a man who approached his fellow congregant in shul, who happened to be a wealthy man, and he comes up to him one day and says, I want you to know if you could do me a big favor. He says, I need urgently 10,000 shekels to cover. I have I'm in the red in the bank, and I have to, you know, cover it just for a week. Can you lend me 10,000 shekels? So the rich man says, sure, except I don't have it on me. You come to my house, and I'll give you the money. So he says, oh, great. What time? He says, 9 o'clock, but no later because I have to go out to work. So he says, no problem. Thank you so much. So 8 o'clock rolls around, 8:30. 9 o'clock rolls around, and the guy didn't show up. He says, okay. So he leaves. He has to go to work, and that's that. Next day, next shacharis, the guy comes up to me again. He says, you know, I'm telling you, I really need this money. I urgently have to put it in the bank, and this, you know, what's going on? Can you give it to me? So he says, yeah, I told you, I can give it to you, no problem, just come to my house, but again, by 9 o'clock, and I'll give you the money. Fine. So what happens? 9 o'clock rolls around again, doesn't show up. Third day, back in Shacharis, comes up and goes, I don't understand you. I told you I needed the money. I needed $10,000. Well, you're not okay, you know. So of course, like, who's not okay over here? He was prepared to give me. He said, just be with me, just come to me, just come to my house, and I'll give you. So the Nimshal is, same thing over here. That Hashem said, what was his lashon? V'nei anochi imach u'shmarticha b'chol asher teleich. He said, I'll be with you. If you'll be with me, then fine. Then I'll protect you. But you have to be with me. You're not going to come to me. I can't take care of you. You have to be with me. So Mele Yaakov figured, you know, I'm supposed to, maybe I'm not with Hashem. Maybe I sinned. I caused this chatzitza between me and Hashem. And therefore, maybe I lost my protection. That's that. And therefore, Yaakov felt, you know, I might have sinned. And then he said also, katonti mi kol ha-chasidim, mi kol ha-meh. Maybe I even if I had some schuyot, maybe, you know, from all the good you did for me, maybe I ate it all up, and I don't have the protection anymore. Okay, all this is fine. However, he asks the pasuk after that. And all of a sudden, Yaakov says to Hashem, v'ata amarta. He said, Hashem, you said, heitev eitiv imach, that you're going to do good for me. V'samti yezarecha k'chol hayam asher lo yimaneh mirov. That, and I'm going to make your seed so great that it can't be counted. So he says, what's going on over here? All of a sudden, first he says, oh, you know, maybe your promise is not going to come in true anymore because I sinned, etc. And you did so much good for me, I don't deserve anything. And all of a sudden he's demanding, he says, bata amarta, Hashem, you said that you were going to do good and good for me. And what's going on? Does he feel that he's not worthy? Or now all of a sudden he's demanding that if he's worthy? It's very difficult. So he answers with another mashal. Says there was a poor man that wanted to marry off his daughter, so he had to promise quite a big nadunya, and he was going to pay for the apartment and this. He couldn't afford. He had no money, but he figured, if I don't put up the money, I'm not going to have a shidduch for my daughter. Okay, so now what? So he figured he has to find a way to get the money. So he heard about this gvir, and they figured he'll try his luck. So he goes into this wealthy man's office, whatever, and he sits down, And this is before he has a chance to open up his mouth. Another man walks in and says to the Gvir, I need a million. Can you give me a million? So he says, yeah, sure. And he says, it's for the deer, for the house. And he says, yeah, no problem. So he pulls out his checkbook and he gives a million and he gives it to the guy. So he goes, okay, good, thank you very much, and he runs out. So this Ani's looking at him, he goes, wow, you know. I mean, he's like, it's like that, give the guy a million. So he thinks, you know, I mean, he says, what is this a million for? Deer, is this for a penthouse? He goes, no, I'm building a private home. For a private home, but he says, that's only part of the money, you know, a million, you know, it's going to be, it's more than that even. So Ani's thinking, wow, he's giving the guy a million for a private home, and he says, okay, I don't need a million, 500,000 will do, guns fine. So he says, listen, 500,000, that'll be okay. He goes, what? He says, yeah, really, I really obligated myself, 400,000, but you know, with the expenses and that. He goes, excuse me, what do you need this money for? He goes, oh yeah, I forgot to tell you. I just, my daughter's got engaged, and I promised this money, and, 400,000, everybody, 500,000 will also be okay, you know, help me out more, whatever. He says, excuse me, he says, what did it have to do with me? So he says, well, I don't know, I saw you just gave that guy, other guy, a check for a million, just like that, so okay, I'm not asking for a million, 500,000 is fine, you know, so what? He says, you don't understand. He says, that guy, he's my contractor, he's my kablan, he's building a house for me, okay? So of course I'm going to give him a million, give him more than a million, because it's for me. Right? For you, your obligations that you made or whatever, what's that to do with me? I'll give you a little check, give you a little, you know, help you out a little bit, but I'm not going to give you a million. Mela says the same thing over here, that if Yaakov Avinu, when Yaakov Avinu is, you know, concerned about himself, you know, Hashem's going to protect me, you know, what's going to be with me, he says, oh, maybe I'm not deserving of it. Because Hashem says, look, that's you, maybe you're not deserving. But over here, when Yaakov Avinu was saying, you know, he was referring to Klal Yisrael, not for himself. He says, Hashem, you promised to make Klal Yisrael. He says, oh, that's a different story. That's Hashem's house, right? It's for Hashem. Hashem says, oh, for me, I keep my obligations. You make your own things, your own. But for you, that's your bin. You might not be worthy. But if you're doing what you're doing for Klal Yisrael, so that's my department. Hashem says, then I keep my promise no matter what. And therefore, Yaakov Avinu knew this. And therefore, he said, "You said, Hashem, you know, you're gonna make your sea great, and you're gonna found Klal Yisrael. So look, you got to help me out for Klal Yisrael's sake." Hashem says, "Oh, that's the case. Then I'm not gonna look at your if you sinned, you didn't sin, whatever. That's for me. No, I'm all with you." Brings a maisa with Rabbi Yisrael Misalant that he once left Lita and left his family, his Talmidim behind, and his position. He went to Paris, France. Why? Because he saw that the community near needed a lot of chizuk in all areas of Yiddishkeit. So he dropped everything and he went there, and he lived in some little attic apartment or whatever, and he mamash did great things over there in chinuch and kashrus and everything. He worked very hard to straighten things out over there. So what happened was, one day he was coming down from the attic and he slipped. And he fell down this whole, you know, length of stairs. And when he came to the bottom, and he was almost knocked him out completely. But luckily, by nace, he was able to come to. And they heard that he had said that as he was falling, he says, I wasn't scared. So I wasn't scared that something bad was going to happen. Why? Because I knew, he said, that I'm only here in Paris for Hashem. Completely altruistically. I'm not doing it for myself. I'm totally for Hashem in order to mechazik these people in Torah mitzvah. Since I'm not doing anything for me, it's totally for Hashem. I knew I had nothing to worry about. Hashem is going to protect me. I see that that's the war with Yaakov. I'd like to add, put in my own two cents, thinking that that's the idea maybe also in our davening on Rosh Hashanah, Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, right? Because here's a time when our books are open and we're being judged. And if we're going to ask for things, you know, for ourselves, Hashem, help me for this, help me for that, and it's for ourselves, Hashem can say, look, I'm looking at your books over here. I don't know if you deserve it. You know, you did this sin and that sin or whatever. So therefore, we don't say that. What do we say the whole time in davening over and over? Laman chelokim chay. Hashem, for you, not for me. I'm doing it altruistically. All for you, Hashem. Laman chelokim chay. And malchus Hashem, and everything. The whole davening is all for Hashem. For Hashem, for Hashem. Because we know if we're going to ask for ourselves, Hashem is going to say, hey, I see the books open here. You know? I don't think you're deserving of it. Therefore, everything we ask for is for Hashem. Brings a story about the Gaon Rav Tzadik, Rabbi Gershon Liebman. So he says, we learned together, he said, in Bialystok. And he said, this was an unbelievable, amazing fellow. He said he ended up in ghetto in Vilna, and in the ghetto he made an underground yeshiva. Afterwards, he was sent to a work camp in Estonia, where he again made a yeshiva, underground yeshiva. He ended up afterwards in Auschwitz, which, you know, he b'chasdi Hashem, he survived. And then he said we met up again in the displaced persons camp, which was made on the grounds of Bergen-Belsen, the death camp, where 30,000 Yidden, Nebuch Hashem Yimkom Damam, were killed. And on the grounds of Bergen-Belsen, they made like a displaced persons camp. So this Gershon Liebman, he once again, he said, we got to start a yeshiva here. So right there on the grounds of Bergen-Belsen, they started a yeshiva. And Rabbi Yaakov says, how did you do that? How are you able to pull to be able to do such a thing? So he says, everything's written in the Torah. He says, this week's Sedra. Right? Here comes Esav with Arbamios Ishimo, wants to totally annihilate Yaakov Avinu, kill him. And what happens? He comes and he hugs him and kisses him. Why? Because Yaakov knew how to, you know, pull some bribes. He brought all his thousands of sheep and slaves and gold and silver and everything. He saw all of this. It's like eyes lit up. And all of a sudden, oh, wow. And he hugged and kissed him. He says a very nice story with the Rambam. He says the Rambam, his, of course, Esek was in Torah. But as they say, he made kemach in Torah. You got to, you know, make a living. So the Rambam decided he was going to become a doctor. So he worked with a doctor as a, you know, to help him out in order to learn the trade. Yeah. So he was watching him in there, and the whole time while he was in this doctor's office, he was reading every book he could get his hands on about medicine or whatever. And one day, said so this guy walks into the doctor that he was, you know, working by, and very ill, whatever. The doctor examined him, and he says, okay, I see exactly what the problem is. He says, a worm made its way up this guy's nose and his nostrils, and it went into his head, and it penetrated his skull, and now it's eating away at his brain. So we got to get this worm out of his head. So he says, okay. So he took the guy, he put him under, and he drilled a little hole in the skull. And then he took these like long pair of tweezers and to try to, you know, get the worm out of his head, out of his brain. So the Rambam's watching him do this, and the Rambam says, excuse me, doctor, sorry to disturb. Can I ask you a question? So he says, yeah. He says, you know, you're taking these tweezers, you're sticking it in his skull, and you start dabbing around at his brain. It's a little bit, dangerous, you know, who knows what you're going to hit there, and in his brain, isn't it a little bit risky what you're doing? So he says, 100%, but no choice. Sometimes you just got to do what you got to do. Hopefully we'll see, maybe we can grab the worm. We're going to cause havoc there in his brain or whatever, but it's better than this to leave him. He's going to, you know, he's going to die if we don't do something. So the Rambam says, can you give me just a couple of minutes? I think I can find a natural way to cure this guy. So the doctor says, please, you know. So the Rambam disappears. He comes back with an herb, like a leaf from a certain plant, very smelly herb. And he goes and he sticks it in the hole of the that the doctor made in the guy's skull. He sticks the herb very carefully in the hole, and he waits a few seconds. What happened? The worm smelt this herb, and he climbs up and he wants to, you know, eat at the leaf. So he comes up to the leaf and then goes on to the leaf to start to eat it. Rambam very carefully, zhoop, this slips the leaf out of the hole with the worm on it, and all left now is to, you know, sew the guy up, and everything's fine. So the doctor was amazed and says, you know, like, how'd you know this? So he said, it's a Gemara and Ksuba stuff, Ein Zayin Amud Beis. But anyways, so what did Rav Gershon learn from this story? He says, everybody has his leaf. In other words, that which, you know, this what attracted this worm? A leaf. He says, put that leaf there, goes to it. He says, you just got to know what everybody's leaf is. So he says, you know, the people over here, they're making this this place in person's camp or whatever. How did I start the yeshiva? I knew what their weak point was, what they're attracted to. What are they attracted to? I told them, look, there's a lot of young men over here. If we don't make a program for them, they're just going to be doing nothing and then get into trouble and that. So it's better, should we set up some program? I have a good program. It's called the yeshiva, whatever. And that was the leaf. That's what attracted them. And then that's why I made the yeshiva over here. He says, there was once a goy, a wise goy, that he said the following. He says, me personally, he says, I love strawberry shortcake. He says, I love strawberry shortcake. He says, however, when I go fishing, he says, on the hook, you know what I put? I put a worm. Oh, it's disgusting. Can you imagine eating a worm? He said, but what can I do? Fish don't like strawberry shortcake. They like worms. So that male is the same idea. He says everybody, you know, has their thing, what they like, and you just got to know how to attract them. It says in the pasuk, "Merevech tasimu bein eder uvein eder." So when Yaakov was setting up the camp before his approach to Esav, he literally, it says, they put a revach, a space between each corral of animals. But the Chazal tell us, Amar Rav Yaakov, Lifnei Kodesh Baruch Hu, Ribono Shel Olam, that Yaakov Inu said to Hashem here, Im yu tzarot ba'ot al banai, there was a hint over here, that if tzaras are going to happen, lo tavi otam ze achar ze, don't bring them one after the other, ela harvach lahem mitzaroseim. There should be like a space. There should be not all at once. So he says that he once heard a Musar Vad from the Stipler in Bialystok, and whose disciple wanted to explain this a little different approach. Based on the Gemara in Brachas, Daf Hei Amud Beis, it says over there that Rabbi Elazar was very ill, and he was dying, whatever, and Rabbi Yochanan came in to visit him. So he saw that Rabbi Elazar was crying. And he said to him the following, he says, why are you crying? Why are you crying, Rabbi Elazar? If it's because of the Torah, you felt, you know, you didn't learn enough Torah, it says echad amar ve'echad amamid v'lad shechaven libo l'shamayim. It doesn't matter a lot, as long as you used to do it as much as you can, as long as you're doing l'shem shamayim. Maybe you're crying because of parnasa, you know, you're very poor. So lo kol adam zocheh l'shnei shulchanot. Now listen, not everybody can be zocheh this world, and then you'll have the next world, so you don't have this world. Mishum shein lecha benim. You don't have any children. Is that why you're crying? So he says, listen, Zetzim Shel Bini Asiri, Rabbi Yochanan used to have on him a necklace made off of a baby tooth of his. He had 10 children and he lost all of them. And he took the baby tooth of this last child that he lost, his 10th child, and he used to hang it around him. Then anytime he would go Menachem somebody, Menachemav, whatever, and a person would be upset of his tzaras, he says, you think you have tzaras? Look at me, I lost 10 children now. So he said, okay, you don't have any children, but look, the people that are worse off had children, I lost them all. Anyways, afterwards, so he says, Chavimin Alecha Yisurin, and he says, listen, you know, do you want to do you want to get better? And he says, yes, you know, I don't want Yisurin, I want to get better. So he says, fine, you want to get better, so give me your hand. Rabbi Yochanan gave Rabbi Yochanan his hand, and he got up and he was better. He cured him. So the Stipler asked, he says, if Rabbi Yochanan had this koach to make him better, why didn't he just get to the point? Say, you want me to make it better? Yeah, give me your hand and finish. What are all these questions? Why are you crying? Is it because you don't have Torah? Is it because you don't have Parnassa? Even though, what are all these questions? Well, just get to a point. You want to live? He said, yeah, give me your hand. So he answers, Because if he would have just right away started with that and said, do you want to live? You know, he probably would have answered him, no. He says, what do I need to live for? I have so much sorrows that forget it, just let me die already. Rabbi Yochanan knew this, that if he would right away ask, do you want to do it? He would just meet Yash right away. No, and forget it. He wouldn't want to live. So therefore, what did Rabbi Yochanan do? He had a very ingenious approach. And that is, he calls it to take apart a ball of yarn. Right, you have a ball of yarn. It's all mess, all the strings, and is all strands are all, you know, all together in a ball. And so what you have to do is you have to take out piece by piece, and then everything is in order. It's the same thing here. He says he was overwhelmed by tzara. So what did Rabbi Yochanan do? Again, if you would ask him, do you want to live? He said no. So he goes, look, let's break things apart, little by little, piece by piece, and we'll just take one thing at a time and examine it. Okay, he's like overwhelmed. He said, fine, look, Torah, you didn't learn enough. Okay, let's listen, you know, as long as Hashem Shemayim, let's go over to the next thing, Parnassa, okay, children, you know. He took each thing and spread it out. And once he approached it, he broke everything up. He said, oh, okay, I understand, I hear, and therefore it's not so bad. And now he was, now he had cheshek to live. And then he asked him, do you want to live? He said, yeah, and he brought him to life. So Meili said that's a very important lesson, right? He said sometimes you see Bachrum and they're so, they can't anymore. He said the derech to help them out is to, you know, sit them down and see exactly what are the problems, and because there's just so much, they just can't deal with it. It's, okay, let's see. Is it this? Fine, let's deal with that. And then you break it up. And once you break up each thing individually and deal with it, then it helps the person tremendously. Says there's a maisa with a rich man. He came to Tzanz and he asked for a bracha from the Tzanz Rebbe. So he asked him, where are you from? The guy says, from Lemberg. So he says, oh, Lemberg. So he says, what about the Malamed? The Malamed in Lemberg, did he get his Nadunya money? He needed it for his daughter? So the rich man says, I'm sorry, what's the Rebbe talking about? He says, well, about a month ago, this Malamed came to me, and he said he had money for his daughter's Nadunya, whatever, and he didn't know what he was going to do, so I just want to know, is everything misuit, everything in order now? He says, how am I supposed to know? The rich man says, how am I supposed to know? He says, what, you don't know the Malamed? So he says, yeah, of course I know, he's a very nice guy. And they go, oh, well, what am I supposed to know? How am I supposed to know a daughter and, you know, this, and the money for the dunya? How am I supposed to know that? He goes, I don't understand. He goes, I'm in Sons and I know about it. And you know, he goes, no, Rabbi, people tell you, but what am I just, you know, I'm a busy man, I'm working all the time, and this, and whatever, every time I learn Torah, but I don't know, you know, butting into people's business, and with that, whatever, what am I supposed to know? So he says, you learn Torah in your spare time? Good, let me tell you something. He says, it says that Yaakov Avinu, right, in this week's Parsha, when he was fighting with the angel, says, V'yavek ish imo ad olas ha-shachar. The Torah calls this ish, right? This ish was fighting with him. Rashi says, who is this ish? Saro shel Esav. Yet, by Yosef, in the Parshas Vayeshev, next week's Sedra, it says when Yosef was looking for his brother, it's also Vimseyu Ish, Vine Toeba Sadeh. A person, an Ish, found him and he was wandering in the field. Rashi says, who is that? Gavriel, Amalach. So he goes, I don't understand. In both places, it says Ish. Vyavek Ishimo, he's fighting with the Ish. And here, an Ish came to Yosef. So he says, why is Rashi say this Ish is the sorrow, the Ish of it, the Satan, and this Ish over here is Gavriel? They're both Ish. What's the difference? So he says, you know what? He says, very simple. The Malach, which was sent to fight with Yaakov Avinu, so he did his shlichas, and then he said, Yaakov said, now give me a bracha, barcheni. So what did he say? No, I can't. I have to say my shira now, and therefore I can't give you a bracha. So he said, but this guy is so busy that he can't give a yid a bracha. He goes, that's the satan, that's the sarah shalisha. Whereas in the case with Yosef, when he was wandering around and v'yishalehu ish lemor matif agesh, and he said, he looked and he said, hey, can I help you? Do you need some help? Well, what would you like? He said, somebody that cares about somebody else and wants to help him, that ish is a malach, that's Gabriel, hinting to the guy that. Yeah, you have to look out for your fellow youth. Finally, there's a machloikas in Chulin Tzadi Aleph. Who was this malach that was fighting with Esav? So we said before, fighting with Yaakov. So we said before, it's one opinion, that's a sorrow shel Esav. And it said, kilistim nidmelo. He appeared to him like a robber. There's another Yeshomrim that says, no, Ketalmid Chacham Nidmelo. It was the Sharos Shaisa, but he wasn't in disguise of a robber, but rather he was in disguise as a Talmid Chacham. So we see from here that the Yetzer Hara, the Sharos Shaisa, the Yetzer Hara has a lot of different faces. Right? And the person has all kinds of nisyonis therefore in life. Sometimes he looks like this, sometimes he looks like that, and it's no coincidence that Chazal say in Sukkah that Sheva Shemoslo, he has seven names, because he constantly changes, sometimes like this, sometimes like that, and we are therefore have all kinds of different nisyonis. Even Mesillas Yesharim says that Kol Inyanei Ha'olam Bein LaTov Bein LaRa Hineihem Nisyonis LaAdam. Good things, bad things happen, everything's a test for a person. Ha'oni mitzad echad, ha'oshi mitzad echad, poor, being poor is a test, being rich is a test, it's all different tests. And he brings a nice example here from Lot, right? Lot was with Abraham, they left their homeland, they traveled to Eretz Canaan, Lot went with them, and he clung to Abraham faithfully, and then there was a famine, they had nothing, and Lot was still there with Abraham, they went down to Mitzrayim with nothing, right? Lot was there the whole time. What happens? After they left Mitzrayim, he came back a wealthy man, Abraham. And then all of a sudden, with the wealth, Lot's like, I think I'll go to Sodom and I'll live there. And as Rashi brings down, Abraham below be'alokav. In the end, I don't want Abraham, I don't want Abraham's God. Thank you, I'll just go to Sodom and that's that. So we see, when it came to the test of poverty, Lot passed that test very nicely. Stay with Abraham. Came to the test of wealth. He failed. Couldn't handle it, and he left Abraham and his God. Brings a nice story here that Rabbi Yoel Kluft tells over, that in the city of Minsk, there was a very wealthy man. His name was Baruch Zeldovich. And he gave a lot of money to tzedakah, tremendous amounts, and he supported Torah, etc. But in the end, he lost everything. He lost all his money. He went to Rav Chaim Brisker, and he says, I don't understand. You know, of all kinds of psukim and chazalim that tells that a person gives tzedakah, that he's going to be rich, he's not, nothing bad's going to happen. The person never gets, the Rambam says the person never gets poor from giving tzedakah. He says, so what happened? What's going on? So Rav Chaim said, let me tell you a story. Story within a story. He said that my father, he said, the Beis Halevi, he was the Rav of Brisk, and once he went into to this Levaya there, and he noticed a very strange thing. He says there was a monument, and it said on the Matzeva the following pasuk, Kapa Parseleani, V'yadeha Shilcha Le'avion. Pasuk in Mishlei, we say in Eish Eschayel. And he said, very strange. Like, this is a pasuk, he said, you might see on Matzeva for a woman. But this was a man that was buried here. So what's pshat? So he looked into the journals of the city to find out there must be a story behind this. And sure enough, he found the story. He goes, this man that was buried here, he was a very, very wealthy man as well. And he gave tzedakah like no tomorrow. He gave everything away. Everything he had, he gave to tzedakah the poor. It hurt him to see somebody that was in need. And he gave away so much that he gave away mamash everything. And it got to a point, he gave away his Seder plate, and then his Chanukiah, and anything he had, everything to Yanim. It got to a point where he had nothing. He was empty. So these two Anim come knocking at his door, and he says, please, we need help, we have nothing, we need to eat, or whatever. And he mamish says, okay, we wait here, let me see if I can find something in my house. He's tearing apart his house, he couldn't find anything. Finally, he's found a little corner, or a little drawer somewhere, he pulls out, he had one little silver teaspoon. So he goes to he goes, I found something, last thing in my house. So he goes to the two anim, he takes the teaspoon, he breaks it into two, he gives the cup part to one of them, and the handle to the other one, and that was that. So they had a based in sit to find out, why did this happen to this man? He was such a wealthy man, and he lost everything. Why? So they came to the conclusion because he transgressed that which the Tachanat Chazal is in Kesubas Daf Nun that says, "A mavazbez min nechasim lanim, all yavazbez just erim chomash." A person not supposed to give more than 20%. Since he transgressed that, and he gave way more than 20%, so he was punished and he lost all his money. And then when he was buried, they put this pasuk on his tombstone, which is very apropos. Why? Kappa parsliani v'yadei ashir chalevyon, meaning kappa, the kaf part of the spoon he gave to the ani. The yadeha and the yad, the handle part, levyon, as he split the teaspoon into two. So, anyways, this Rav Zeldovich, so he heard that, and he says, I hear. So, in other words, you're trying to tell me that's my problem also, that's why I lost my money? So, Rav Chaim said, you know what, I don't think so. I think there's a different taich over here, Bechlal. And that's what. He said that, I don't think it's akasha, how you lost your money. He says, because Hashem gives different nisyonis, like we said, in this world. Right? Hashem tested you with the nisayon of Osher. He gave you a lot of money. See, what are you going to do with your money? And you passed with flying colors. You, Mamish, gave your money away to, everything away to Hanim. You passed your test as being an usher. Joseph says, good. You passed that. Now let's try a different test. Now let's see how you're going to do as an ani. Lot, we saw, it didn't work that way. He passed it as an ani. He became an usher. Oh, that was it. He lost it all. So Hashem did the opposite. He tested you first with usher, and you passed. So now let's see. Ani, that's the way Hashem works. He tests you in different things. So we shall be zoicha to pass all our tests in this world. Zoicha to all the brachas that Yaakovina received. Zoicha to the ultimate bracha of Bias Kol Tzedek, Mimhir, Mimhinu.